Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy. And once again, I have brought together a very eclectic group of individuals. But you know how the Roundtable Talk Show is. By the end of the show, we'll be laughing, we'll be crying, we'll be talking like old friends. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. But before I do that, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the show. I need you to tweet someone, text someone, email somebody, inbox somebody, walk across the street to your neighbors. That one right there, you see watering the lawn. It's not time to water the lawn. It's time to watch the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my first guest, who is very interesting. And I was very interested not only by their relationship, but how they turned something some people would be surprised by into an amazing business. I want to introduce Erica and Lila. They are mother and daughter team, Erica and Lila Shanoff. They are Erica's Tea Rooms, and they have a successful mail order business. But something you might be surprised by, scones. Good morning, Erica and Lila. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. We're great. Thank you. How about yourself?
I'm excited to finally meet you. We've been talking for what, like 3 months now?
Probably. It seems like that. Maybe even a little bit, probably shorter than that, but it seems like forever.
Yes, because it had to be longer than that because you were on the October 9th and 10th Powered by Purpose 2-day teleconference. So, I
Yes, you
mean,
are.
that was, and then we've been talking before that. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So I am Erica Shanoff, and with my mother Lila, she is our head sconista, and I am a tea sommelier. And for the past 7 years, we have been the owners of Erica's Tea Room in Clearmont, Florida, where we serve a traditional high tea experience like you might have anywhere that you're traveling around the world. And over the last year, we have started shipping our scones nationwide. So I always say that I'm the brains and she's the brawn because I come up with the creative flavors and she makes them happen.
So Erica says, "Mom, can you make this type of scone?" And I said, "Sure, I can."
So just this morning, we've been in the store for a couple hours. We're getting ready to ship some orders. And today we're all about the holiday flavor. So pumpkin spice scones and Snickers. Why have your candy just for Halloween? Have them in a scone too.
And the nice thing about our scones, people either love or hate scones because they're used to what they could get in a supermarket. And I turn them around and say, "Oh no, that's not a scone." And you have to try our scones. And I didn't want to be pigeonholed with the traditional scones. I wanted to make different scones and something that people would enjoy with all their flavors.
So we ship, yes.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
So we ship daily and we ship them individually wrapped. So when they arrive to your home 2 or 3 days later, they're exactly as if they were just out of the oven. And so they can be had for a cup about a week after they arrive to you. And then you can also freeze them for up to 6 months. So you have time to enjoy them. And they come with reheating instructions and a recipe to make your own Devonshire cream, since we can't ship that because it's spoilable.
A very funny story with it, what Erica said. We shipped to Hawaii for the first time, and the first batch of scones to Hawaii, the woman called a week later. She said, "I didn't get my scones." I said, "Oh my God." And I shipped her out another batch that day. She got it within 3 days. The same time she got the first box, she opened both up and she says, "You know, these that are a week old are as fresh as the ones that are just sent to me." So it was great. I now it proves that it stays fresh on the counter for 7 days.
Wow, I love it. So that's the business. You gave us all the business, you told about the products. I hear that. Now we got to get past that to the story because that's what our audience is tuned in for. So mom, it seems, was the person initially passionate about these scones. Is that correct?
my mom and I have visited tea rooms all over the world. So it's always been our mommy and me thing. And so we've probably been to tea rooms in 10 different countries and all across the US. And I've been drinking tea literally since I'm two. So it's only been a couple of weeks. I still suck my thumb for her on Mother's Day.
Yes, because I wake up and I said, how do I have a daughter so old?
And you're only 39.
So your question is, how do we get to these scones? Trying scones, you know, there's two things when you go into a tea room. One, the tea. We've gone to tea rooms and we said, why did they open a tea room? This tea is terrible. You know, that's the biggest thing that you want in a tea room, the best tea around. And the second thing is the scones. Mm-hmm. So it took me a while to perfect our scone recipe. And then now I use the same foundation and I play with everything. People said, can you use champagne and scones? I make a dynamite strawberry champagne scone. So I play with flavors. I love doing that. It doesn't bore me. It keeps me going. You know, this is my retirement job. So
you retired at 39? That's wonderful. Yes. So let me ask you though.
Had a very stressful job for 45 years. And I said, you know what? I'm ready not to work for the man anymore. And I want to do something on my own. And Erica was a teacher for 13 years. And she said, you know, Mom, I don't care. Let's do this. And we decided to do this. And we're a perfect yin yang. We answer each other's sentence. We, you know, we could be on opposite sides of a warehouse buying product. And she'll come to me with the same thing that I have in my hand. So it's most of the time, I can't say all the time, a great yin yang, because it's, you know, you work with your daughter 24/7. It's sometimes problems.
Don't do it.
I don't know, because I'm already seeing a theme in this show. I'm feeling a theme coming to me. I'm gonna come back to you guys. You guys,
absolutely.
But I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, whose family is definitely important to, because she's built her life around the story of her grandparents. She is the grandchild of two Holocaust survivors. She's also an award-winning author. We're going to talk about her book, What Papa Told Me, Miss Felice Cohen. Good morning, Felice. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm so excited to have you.
Yeah, first I have to say, I don't know how anybody could have a scone on their counter for 7 days. It wouldn't last. I would eat them all like immediately. So that was pretty funny. But yeah, no, I'm excited to be here with this eclectic group. And, you know, I wish I had a scone in front of me to start, but I have so many questions about that.
We can fix that later. I'm pretty sure we can get you a scone or two, because this is a mail order business. We'll get you some scones.
I'll be ordering for sure. You know, I love that the mother and daughter working together. Growing up, you know, I would watch my grandmother bake all the things that she cooked. And it's interesting, when I worked on the book with my grandfather about his life in the Holocaust before and during and after, we'd be talking so much about starvation and how hungry he was for 5 years on all those camps. And my grandmother would be in the kitchen cooking and baking, and you'd have all these aromas coming through, and you'd be talking about being so hungry. So, you know, food is so important in our lives, obviously, and to do it together. You know, I worked with my grandfather for 18 years telling his story, and I never thought it was really going to be a book. It was just something we worked on while I kind of had other jobs and my careers. And my dream was to write this for him, and I never expected to sell any copies. And towards the end, he got cancer. He was in his late 80s, and I knew I had to finish this book. And I had a stressful job, and I said, you know what, I'm going to quit my job and give myself 1 year just to finish the book. And I moved into a tiny, tiny apartment, 90 square feet, to finish the book. And the small space allowed me to quit my job because the rent was low. Mm-hmm. And I was still working on the side as a professional organizer, but a video of my tiny apartment went viral at the same time that my grandfather's book came out, and the book started to sell around the world.
Wow.
It really validated for my grandfather. He was in his early 90s by this point, and he and I would tour together and speak. And he had never spoken for 70 years. He had never spoken about what he went through in the Holocaust. And it really just kind of affirmed for him that he had survived for a reason. So it kind of felt like everything worked out for a reason.
Yeah, that he had actually had a story to tell and that people would be interested in hearing what he had to say. That had to feel good for you as well.
It did. You know, I thought I was writing this as a gift for him. At first, I thought I was just going to make copies of Kinko's and hand them out to the family. I had no idea it would really be a gift for me. Mm-hmm. I've spoken around the country. I've spoken to almost 20,000 people about my grandfather's story and about writing it. And, you know, I live in Manhattan. And when I speak in schools in the Bronx and Brooklyn, these kids, their parents and their grandparents are from all these countries. And a lot of them don't know their history. And I encourage them to ask their families about their history, because we need to know where we're coming from, where we came from, the struggles our families went through to get here to this incredible country. You know, my grandfather would finish every talk. You know, he still had a European accent, but he would finish every talk by saying, you know, God bless America, because he knew what it was like living somewhere else and how we have to appreciate what we have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I have a dear friend of mine. I always talk about her on my social media and everybody, Mrs. Sally Martin. She will be 99 in December. And so she's always talking about how she doesn't know technology. She doesn't use technology, but she's so funny, so hilarious. So one day I asked her, I'm like, Mrs. Martin, can I interview you? She's like, you can interview me if you write the questions and write the answers. And I was like, I got to write the questions and the answers. She was like, yes. I said, she was like, why am I doing this interview? I'm like, it's for your grandchildren. You know, they may want to see you. And I said, what advice, what words would you give the world, you know, if you could leave them with anything? So that's what we're working on. So in what Papa told me, were there any words of advice, or if he could tell the world anything that we should know?
Sure. I you know, there's so much, and kids would ask him so many questions. And I think for him, his story is about hope. Mm-hmm. You know, he, for 5 years, he was in 8 different camps. He saw family killed. He was hungry every day. He just saw this horror for years and years, but he believed that one day he would survive and have a family and be able to go on with his life and have more children and family to replace. And it was just about hope. And as tough as the book can be in sections, it's about believing and hoping. And I think as we go through this horrible time that we're in with COVID and fear and anxiety, that we have to believe that we can get through this. And I bet Mrs. Martin would say the same thing. In 100 years, what has she seen? And, you know, there are days where you get up and you're like, okay, you got to do this again. You got to make the scones. You got to come up with music. You have to kind of come up with energy and keep going and want to succeed. And you have to push yourself. And I think it's about what inspires you, what motivates you to keep going and believing that we'll get through this and that we'll be okay.
Yes. And a lot of times that's family. So I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And they are a husband and wife team. So like I said, our theme today just seems to be family. We have Dandria, Danny Joe Williams, and T.L. Williams. We're going to talk about their debut album. But before we do that, we're going to talk about their incredible story. Good morning. How are you?
Morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us. This is amazing. So yeah, I'm Danny Joe.
I'm T.L. Williams, and we're Ruby Gold Smoke. Thank you for having us.
You are so welcome. The first thing that I read in your bio, you know, we got to the music, and one of the things I always talk about is I'm one of those people that I read through and I look for something that's different, something that's unique, you know, because people always want to say, I sell shoes, I sell this, I help people with marketing. I'm like, yeah, but what's the story? And the first thing that stood out is you were like, from the first time we met, we knew that we were supposed to do something together.
Yes, it's funny because we met, both of us were working. He was a solo artist first, and I started off as a choreographer for another artist. So I have a really huge dance background. And so backstage, we were at the same show, you know, and he was headlining with Erica Campbell, and I was coming up next with another artist. And I was just, this is my first time seeing him perform. And backstage afterwards, I was just like, oh God, you were so amazing. You were so great. And he's like, you want to take a photo? And I'm like, yeah. He takes the photo and he says to me, what's your number so I can text it to you? So that's how he got my number. And so, but just being together, we knew that we were supposed to do something together because of our energy, as well as just our interests. We were both into music, both into entertainment, performance. And so it was just, we knew it.
I remember, we started dating, and I'm just scooting forward for dramatic effect. That was, I remember.
I was spellbound. I'm like, this must be good because he's coming up.
You gotta adjust. You got to come in like that, you know. So I remember when we were first dating. She asked me. She was like, "What are you building?" Mm. And I was like, "Wow, that's, you know, that's a heavy question. You know, men don't get asked that on the, you know, within the first year of dating." And I told her, I wanted to start my own label. I wanted to start my own school. These are some of the things that I said in response. And it's just amazing how, like I said in the Bible, when you find your good thing, how much that changes your life and cultivates your life. Fast forward 6 years of being together, 4 years of marriage. We have these things. Quiet Kingdom Recordings is the label. With this film division, we have Symphony of Change Incorporated, which is a arts nonprofit organization dedicated to restoring music programs and dance programs in schools around the nation. Of course, Ruby Gold Smoke and our debut album, Revolutionary Love, is actually dropping on November 19th.
That's the first time we've actually set the
first
date.
Time we so set that. So you got the exclusive, Sharifa.
Yeah, I love exclusives. That's what we do here.
Boom. In your face.
Yeah. I love you guys' energy. That is so cool. And you were talking about the story, and she was just smiling. I'm just watching her smile. She's just like, yeah. So this is what I want to know. This is for you, Dandria. If he would have given you a different answer to what is he building, what would you have done?
So this is something that I was really big on. I was really big on getting, if I was going to date someone, they had to be building something because I'm building something. And at that time I had my own dance studio, but I wanted to create a bigger platform for youth. And I wanted to get more into the arts of entertainment, and just, I felt like if someone was with me, they had to have built something too, or either be in that mindset. So if he would have said, you know what, I just want to chill, I would have been like, well, I'm not looking for someone to chill with. That's just not what I'm looking for. So, you know, maybe when you start building something and you're, you know, maybe we could reconnect, but that's not what I'm looking for. So. So I really had some high standards, and he was great.
I knew that was a test question. I knew, like, I couldn't just, you know, squander away that answer. I knew I had,
Okay. So is that right. I'm just gonna ask. I'm not trying to get nobody in trouble, TL, but so is that why you went huge? Like, I'm a build a school, so it wasn't something you could do tomorrow. You know what I'm just saying? Like 50 years from now, we're going to get this school, right?
No, that wasn't the, and you're petty, by the way. No, that wasn't my big day. No, you tried it, and you failed. You tried to get me caught up. But no, it just so happened that I was in that same space where I wanted to do more than just, go out to eat and hang out. Like, I had stuff that I was building, right? And so that's what's so beautiful about being asked that question so early on, was this is one of the many reasons and one of the many ways I knew she was the one, because she asked that, she finally asked that question that I've wanted to answer for a long time, you know?
That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. I'm going to come back to you guys. I'm telling you, this show is about family. I'm pretty sure our next guest has some family. She didn't introduce them. She didn't bring them on the show like everybody else today. She didn't write a book about her family, but I'm pretty sure she has helped people write a book about
it. That's probably because you got us up at 8 o'clock in the morning and everybody... That's probably because everybody woke up, you know, it's 9:45. It's 7:45 where you at. That's all I know you. Yeah, I know everybody else sleep in the house. I already know. I'm messing with you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You want to introduce our next guest since you didn't take over the show, Ruby Go? I was doing my job.
Paulette, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Paulette Harper. She is an Amazon number one, two-time award-winning best-selling author, and now she helps aspiring authors to write, publish, and market their books. Good morning, Paulette. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. This has been fun, just hearing all the stories and the connections and whatnot. You know, how I got started is just a little bit different than everybody else, but that's okay because all of our stories are unique in itself and we all have something to say. But I started writing coming through a divorce. I was married to a pastor for 23 years. And so I began to journal that transition that I was going in and how devastating it was for me to even at 40 to be facing life alone and let alone going on a new journey. And so I started writing my first book. That was then, this is now, this broken vessel restored from that, from those emotions, from that time that I was going through that divorce. And I had no idea that was the trajectory that God wanted me to go on, because I was at a point where I didn't know where life was going to take me, what journey I was going to be on, because I was pretty content being where I was, you know, being married to a pastor, having kids, having the church, and having my own job. But there was something more that God wanted me to do. And he took a tragedy in my life. He took trauma in my life. He took the bad things that were happening in my life, and he really turned them around for his glory. And I began to journal that and wrote my first book. And from there, been on, you know, able to write 11 other books, but, you know, just really reinventing who I was and learning how to empower myself and learning how to take, you know, to come out of the ashes, you know, and come out soaring in a way in which God would be the glory, God would get glory in it, and that I would be able to share my story and share my pathway and help other women and empower them, inspire them, enrich their lives so that they too can realize that, you know what, life doesn't have to end. There is always a bounce back. And if we can take the bounce back and just learn how to soar in that, then we can create other opportunities for ourselves. And I've been able to do that. And I've been able to bring other women along with me and offer them the same opportunity to share their story, share their transformation, so they too can soar in places that they never thought they could before.
That is so beautiful. 11, so a total of 12 books.
I have 11 books. I write. Yeah. So a couple of my books are award winners. I have a fiction novel, Secret Places Revealed. And then most of my books are nonfiction. And then I also have an adult coloring book as well. I have a children's book also.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you wrote the first book, I know you started journaling to help you, you know, very cathartic, helps with therapy, get the information out. But what was it that made you decide to actually publish it?
You know what, it really was just the nudge that I got from, you know, the Lord, and really realizing that my life wasn't, you know, that he created me for a purpose. And even though I didn't feel that how I was going in that journey of being married all those years, that it ended the way that it did. I just had to believe that God was going to use my experiences to just really transform my own life, but then also help others. I just believed that what I was going through wasn't for naught. It wasn't just in vain. There was a purpose for it all. And so I began to write about, you know, the transformation that was happening. I began to write about my own ugly, messy story in that. And so, you know, just realizing that, you know what, God, you got to make something good out of this, you know, because I'm at a point where if nothing good comes from this, then I haven't learned any lessons, you know, and there's always lessons to be learned in our lives, you know, and what we go through. And so just really thinking about, where can I go with this? You know, God, what do you want me to do now that I'm single, now that, you know, I'm in my 40s, and what do you want me to do with this story and all these experiences that I've had? And it was the writing it, you know, talking about the steps that I had to take to finally, you know, get free. I mean, I was dealing with a lot of, you know, emotional bondage, emotional baggage. I was dealing with suicidal tendencies. I was dealing with depression, you know, and anxiety and trepidation. So these emotions was happening to me because I was going through an emotional, you know, emotional trauma. And that's what happens, you know, when we're facing something that's very traumatic, we go through our emotions. On the outside, we may have a mask. It may look and appear like we're okay, you know, but inside, our inward man is stressful. He is not responding the way that life would want us to respond and how it want us to respond. And so emotional trauma began to settle in. And so I started to, you know, act out on that based on, you know, just the fear and anxiety and having, you know, emotional panics and whatnot. And so just really sharing that and really finding that there was really some hope and some empowerment that I can get from it. And then looking back on my life and seeing how God had just really rescued me from myself, you know, rescued me from my own setups and disappointments, you know, and setbacks, and just really put me on a place that I could just really learn and excel and grow from where I was and do things that I didn't even think I had the capability of even doing, because I had to reach down within myself to pull out creativity that I didn't even know existed.
Yes, it's kind of similar to what Felice was saying, and how her plan wasn't to make money or to sell a million books. It was just a gift to tell this story. I'm pretty sure, Felice, you can relate to a lot of what Paulette was saying.
You know, a ton of it. Not, you know, for one, it confirmed for my grandfather that he had survived for a reason, and it made him feel good. But I'm listening to you speak, Paulette, and I'm finishing up a memoir, which I started because of a trauma that happened in my life, or something traumatic that happened in my life. And I started writing just this therapy. I didn't think it was going to be anything. And this was before I started my grandfather's book. It was just like, okay, I had to work through this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's won a couple contests and now it's getting ready to go out. And it feels good to have that recognition once, you know, after pouring your heart out, because it's not easy to tell these stories. And I can only imagine, now I want to read your book, because now you got this huge smile on your face. And I'm like, okay, she got past it. And part of it is writing it and releasing that. And the other part is having people read it and accept you. And I think that's part of also getting over whatever we go through.
Absolutely. Ruby Gold Smoke, you know, you're writers and you write music. A lot of times, one of the things that we talk about is it's our entertainers, it's our writers, our poets, our musicians who are telling the story of that time. And you're pouring a lot, your message is a lot about love. Would you say you pour that into what you're going through? Or do you write about it?
Yes. So even like with our new album, Revolutionary Love, we named it that because we feel like, you know, in the African American community, one of the greatest things you can do is love your spouse or love your Black woman or your, you know, Black man. And with us, when we write, it's about our life. It's about how we feel about one another, or it's about anything we went through before in the past, any traumas. It's because we actually feel like people relate to music that relates to their life. And as humans, when we're going through anything traumatic, sharing that may be therapy for us, but it also helps someone else. So we're always about like writing our truth.
Yeah. And to add to that too, you know, if you think of it from a, I guess like an economic standpoint too, you know, love is a timeless thing. So, you know, we like writing love songs because love never goes out of style. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to be loved. And so it's something that, you know, multiple generations of people, much like the books from the authors that are on this panel, we're leaving something that multiple generations after us can read and dive into and get something from as well. You know, I'm definitely interested in all the, you know, all I think I heard like 14 books in the panel alone, you know, and I want a scone. So you know, it's about, you know,
when are we gonna see your stand-up special? That's what I want to know. Let me just go in a whole different direction. Because I need to tune in and watch it.
Fun fact, he went to Second City here in Chicago. So that's probably that those skills you're hearing.
shout out to Second City Comedy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, like that being able to write, and you know, especially in music, you know, there's writing it for yourself, but the minute you decide you want to be an artist, the minute you decide you want to make money from your music or make profit from your music, it becomes about how you can get your human expression to relate to other humans. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, you never know who needs to hear your therapy, and you never know who needs to hear you speak your truth so they know how to get through what they're going through. It's important.
Yeah. Just to add one thing, one of the things that, you know, because we're writing together, it's a collaboration thing, you know, we both have to pretty much get our therapy out. And so one of the things that I've learned is like our process, I have a whiteboard in the studio and I'm writing, and he's texting on his phone, like his notes. And then we bring them together and it's like, oh my God, yes, yes, you know? And so collaborating, I didn't know that it was going to bring so much out of us, you know, being able to collaborate when we write. Because before this, I was a journaler. I always journaled. And so now it's like, I'm able to share what I'm writing right in the middle of it before the world sees it. So it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. We're talking about collaboration. We have Erica and Lila, or Erica and Lila with us.
So I'm hearing so many people talking about love and looking for inspiration and telling your story through the written word in one genre or another. I was actually a literature teacher, so I'm kind of taking that all in. For us, food is love. So
and family.
It goes back to, you know, the traditional values of, you know, meeting at the family table and sharing dinner together. We come from a Jewish family as well. So lots of the holidays growing up, it's all about the foods, the traditions of the different holidays that we would share together. And so now as we do our scones and we share the tea experience with people, we feel like we're taking them into our home, even though it's our business, and sharing something that hopefully they will share for many years. I mean, that's how we got started, because it was a mommy and me thing. And so we want that experience to be shared with other people, and hopefully they can create it on their own. And that's everywhere.
That's what we said. You come in as strangers and leave as friends. Like you, Felice, we had a lot of family. Like my grandparents only came out of the concentration camps and went to, you know, through Ellis Island to Manhattan, and they stayed there, but they didn't live long lives. They died in their 50s. So I wasn't even born yet. And, you know, unfortunately, they didn't want to share stories. They were not, you know, forthcoming. A lot of the Holocaust survivors didn't want to tell the stories. So we were traditionalists, and my mother was a phenomenal cook. She couldn't bake to save her life. She couldn't follow a recipe to save her life. Well, this generation really doesn't want to take over the recipes either. So I don't know what we're going to do when I'm gone.
I'm busy running the rest of our world.
Yeah, but she has no interest in baking or cooking. That's the joke between the two of us. She tells me how high to jump, but she doesn't know how to jump.
We do a cooking show together, and the joke, she can't tell me I'm having blonde moments anymore. I went back to my natural color, but.
And it's similar to that. And that's why you keep on seeing me run into the kitchen. I pull my hair back because this is our time that our business is opening shortly, and I'm stirring my soup, and I have my hands in a million pots in the kitchen.
Mom's making scones during the round table talk show.
I think a big bowl of scones.
I have my big bowl of scone mix, so I'm trying to make sure my husband doesn't burn my scones.
We do keep him around. He's head of the custodial staff.
Yeah. He's the only man or person I had in the kitchen who didn't get pregnant washing dishes.
I figure he's safe.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a story. Like the whole bunch of pregnant washing dishes. I'm not coming over your house.
We had four women in the kitchen. The last one was 40-something years old. She had a teenage daughter. She met a man who had a teenage son. It sounded like the Brady Bunch. But then she got pregnant. And I said, definitely it's in the water. So I put my husband to wash dishes so he can't get pregnant.
And I don't drink the water. I keep it with bottles.
Yeah. So it's the funny story. We don't let anybody else in the kitchen. But I mirrored the kitchen here, very similar to my kitchen at home. It's very homey, the place. It's not a huge, we don't have a huge tea room. It has 10 tables, but this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to cook. It's our tradition to cook for people. So I've converted a lot of people to different foods that they're not used to having. And then of course my scones. I am so excited because I have that freedom to create different flavors and stuff.
Felice, did you have a question?
No, it wasn't a question, but you know, my mom has this apple cake recipe that she learned from her mother, and I started to write it down so we could give it to my sisters and my niece and my nephew, and I started to put it in a book, and I'm just listening to your story, and I'm thinking, and I don't know if you have a book, but a book about your story with the recipes in it that I know, you know, Erica doesn't want them, but I'm sure, you know, you have to pass on to other people because I'm sure all your customers would love to hear the stories behind them, one, but also to have the recipes. And it could be, you know, about your, you know, the mother daughter starting a business together. I would love to.
Mommy and me.
Yeah.
I would love, we were going to say not your grandmother's tea party, because again.
So the whole outline of the book is done. Just the recipes are missing. Okay. Somebody's slacking on the job.
And, somebody. And you know, we're trying to protect them. You have to know. In Judaism or in our upbringing, there aren't really typical recipes. I'm sure this is in all walks of life. You used to watch Mama cook and she would say, okay, this. I said, what is that? And how much is a pinch or a dot or a tad or whatever, you know, whatever you're from. So I said, okay, how do you make this? And we make something called crepla. Do you remember that, Felice?
Yeah.
And it's almost like a dumpling filled with meat.
It's like a wonton meets a dumpling.
And I've tried to copy my mother's recipe so many times. She made, we just lost her during COVID, 92 years old. She was the last of the people that we've had of that generation and lived with me for 23 years. And with that, I lost so much of the recipes and stuff. You're right. But I can refigure them out. Exactly the measurements. We do this on our cooking show. I did my mom's honey cake recipe. I can't follow a recipe. I always do my own thing. So instead
of Paulette, method.
Yes, yes. Paulette, what are your thoughts? The outline is there. Just need to get those recipes.
Yeah. I need a muse, yeah. Paulette.
Yeah, definitely. I can help you with that. You know, one of the great things that I see how, you know, each of our stories just kind of resonate with one another is the fact that we do have that. We have history, you know, we have reasons how, you know, we were put together, reasons why we're still here, reasons why we're still sharing, you know, our loved ones' stories, our loved ones' recipes, our music that we're sharing, because we still have so much to do. There's so much work that needs to be done. There's still so many people that we need to reach with our message. And, you know, when we can be creative and innovative and just really extend more than just, you know, our immediate family and friends and go beyond that, there are so many more people that we can reach with our stories. And it's a legacy that we want to leave. You know, it's about leaving a mark on a generation that will pick up the torch, will pick up the baton and run with it. And when we can be able to, you know, drop, you know, stories to them and legacies to them and you know, things that have happened in our lives and how we've been able to overcome and move through and get through it, you know, and leave that is amazing. It really is, because, you know, it's bigger than us. You know, God just uses us in the moment to, you know, do what we do. But the stories are way bigger than us, because our audience goes beyond just our immediate, you know, friends and family. And the legacies are so valuable, and we have to do it, you know, because I want, you know, my grandkids to pick up one of my books and say, that's my Mimi, you know, I want that, you know, and that's what we should want with our legacy and that what we leave with our loved ones.
Well said. Ruby Goldsmoke, what is your thoughts on legacy?
I think it's like super important, you know what I mean? Like that's, I think it's something that people should take into account now while they're living, while they're doing what they do. The idea of Felice, can you like help us write a book? Because that idea was brilliant. You know what I'm saying? It you're right. They have a book there that people will want to dive into. You know, I heard somebody say, and we heard somebody say, everybody has genius level talent. It just has to get, they have to get it out of them. You know what I'm saying? And so that's, I think that ties into legacy, chronicling what you've done and passing on that knowledge. That I know that's something that my father expressed to us. And, you know, that's something that we plan on doing. Part of, you know, the inspiration behind Quiet Kingdom Recordings is we've had some success in the industry, and we want to be able to make it so that other artists can have that same success and have a home and a place they can come to. In the industry, especially in this era, it's about having independence. And so there starts to be this picture painted where a person that wants to be an artist, you gotta figure it all out by themselves. And that's never true, right? Everybody, even if that artist came out yesterday, even if that artist is not signed to a label at all, they have a team. And so whenever we can provide a team for someone, that's important.
Yeah. I feel like legacy is everything, you know. Whenever you can pass something down, because, you know, passing something down shows us how something was done, ways we can do it better, you know, just everything. And when you're building something, you want to be able to pass it down so that your children and their children's children don't have to struggle through something. So, you know, I'm really happy for us, because we're able to build, we don't have any kids yet. So this is our time to create a legacy, you know, for our future children and their and our grandchildren and everybody. So, you know, legacy is really big.
And we learned too that I put it like this, like legacy and reputation are cousins, right? they're related. How people talk about you when you're not around can and probably will become how people talk about you when you're gone. You know what I'm saying? So that's you know, we always look at them as related. They see each other during the holidays when they, you know, go to Thanksgiving family. And they eat
together. Well, Thanksgiving is coming up with family. So we gonna have you work with Paulette, but Felice, we looking for a book idea for Ruby Gold Smoke. They need that magic. They asked for it. They said Felice comes up with wonderful ideas. That's what they said.
I got it.
You know, if Felice and Paulette, if like, you know, if the two of y'all can, you know, we down. We got plenty of content.
Okay, we're gonna collaborate. We're gonna do a collaboration, okay?
Absolutely. Remember that TV show Behind the Music on VH1? It was like 100 years. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to know like your favorite song. What was the inspiration? And listening to you guys talk, like I'm on the whiteboard, he's on his phone. You have a song, like a story, a book, and then you can have each chapter start with lyrics from the book and then how you got to that book, how you got the lyrics, how you, you know, changed the rhymes, how you came up with the tune, how you got the backup music. The
kind of the a play on like poetic justice.
Yeah.
Where she's writing the poetry and the music. It's been so long since I've seen the movie, but of course, Maya Angelou was one of my favorites. And it's all based around Phenomenal Woman. So,
see, this is what we do here at the Round Table Talk Show. You come in, no book. You leave,
book.
I got a question, because you said we can ask. So I got a question, and this question, and I wanted to, this question is actually for Felice, and the book about your grandfather. I'm sorry, Sharif, I didn't mean to cut you off. Was you still?
You didn't cut me off. It's fine. This is what we do here. So.
Speaking of that, I do have a question for Felice. In your book about your grandfather, I know he was chronicling the time he spent during that ordeal. How much of that draws parallels to what's going on today?
Good question. You know, at the beginning of COVID, I had to, I was part of this conference and there were a couple hundred people and it was supposed to be live in New York City, but we had to quickly pivot and do it on Zoom. And at first I thought, why are we still having this? Like the Holocaust seemed like the last thing on my mind right now. Like people are dying. It was crazy time. It was all scary. And as I was speaking in the conference and all the people watching on Zoom, I was saying this, how, you know, how can we even think about the Holocaust right now and other things that happened? And then I realized we had to learn from those lessons. Like, you know, at the beginning of COVID, I woke up every day like, oh my God, I had the worst nightmare. And then I realized it wasn't a nightmare. It's still going on, right? And I remember at the beginning of the Holocaust, you know, there were rules at the beginning. Jews couldn't leave their homes. They lost their businesses. And then all of a sudden they lost everything and they would wake up in a camp or in, you know, somewhere they just wasn't home. And they would think, maybe they woke up and thought, oh my God, what a nightmare. And then realized this wasn't a nightmare. And every day they had to go through this. Like, when is this going to be over? And I know at the beginning we're thinking, when is COVID going to be over? And it was unimaginable to think it's going to go a month, 2 months. And now we're talking about 2022 of when real life might come back of something. And you're trying to wrap your brain around that. And I think for those in the Holocaust, like how at the beginning, how did you keep persevering after a year? Is this going to end? After 2 years, is this going to end? And 5 years after this started, it finally ended. And for so many, and I talk about this in my talk, you think, oh my God, they must have been so happy. It's finally over. But for a lot of them, it was the reality of what we just went through. A lot of survivors were alone. They had no one. They were the only ones in their family to survive, and they had to persevere and keep going. And like Layla said, you know, a lot of them didn't talk about it. You know, they didn't want to talk about it. They wanted to move on with their lives. And, you know, hopefully this will be in our rearview mirror one day. And then we'll have to look back and think of the people we lost, our grandparents, our neighbors, our friends. And it's almost like it's hard to even mourn right now because we're all in mourning for so much that we have lost. I mean, you can't compare it to lives lost, but, you know, theater and and interaction and hugging and seeing our family, it's tough. And I think we're, and the one thing I think it helps is that we're all in this together and we can come together and on Zoom and sit distance from each other. And really it's really all we have right now. And it's so important.
Did that answer your question?
It did. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah. Did you have any other questions for the panel?
So I heard Paulette say she wrote an adult coloring book, right? Mm-hmm. I know you had 11 books that you've written so far, and what is inspired an adult coloring book? Like, that's pretty like unique.
Because we're intrigued.
Okay, so what really inspired me was I really was looking at the trend and where we were going as writers and what new things I could create to connect with people who like to color. And so I started looking at, what can I create as far as a coloring book? I knew that I wasn't gonna create one for kids because I had a children's book, and I wanted to create something that's for adults that has scriptures in it. And that's why it's called The Scriptures in Color. And so I wanted to just really be more creative and reach another audience of people who may not have read my nonfiction books, my novels, but they'll pick up a coloring book, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to do that. And this is actually the book.
The Scriptures in Color.
Yeah, Scriptures in Color. And, that it's sprinkled with scriptures inside of it. And then just opportunities for people to relax, unwind, and breathe is really the headline on the book, on the coloring book. And so it's really about just taking moments, you know, especially when we're in COVID, you know, just taking some time for self-care and just really, you know, quieting your mind and quieting your environment. Getting, you know, with yourself and getting some coloring pencils and just, you know, coloring out some things. And then the scriptures that are there as well to just meditate on the scriptures while you're, you know, encouraging yourself as you color.
I think that is so beautiful. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Paulette.
Yeah, I just really want to share with your audience that if, you know, if they have a story that they want to share, that you know, our stories are meant to be shared. They're meant to be written. They're meant to be spoken. And that there is an audience of people who are just waiting for, you know, our stories to be, to be expressed to them. And then also, you know, I really, you would encourage you to just really, you know, do this when we're in COVID here, just really take a time to just really do a reset and, a regroup of where you are in your life and just examine where you are, because we're coming out of this and 2020 will never be the same, and going into 2021 will totally be different, but we have to learn how to just really process it and move forward as we go forth and be creative in this time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paulette. Felice, what do you have for us?
Well, to piggyback on Paulette, you know, while we're home, while we're in COVID, one thing I mentioned when I was living in the 90 square foot apartment, what allowed me to do that was that I'm also a professional organizer. So I am good at getting rid of stuff, and I speak around the country at tiny house festivals. And it's about our lives and what we want to do. And so many people want to either live small or live with less stuff. And I think while we're home and we're seeing all the stuff in our homes that we finally have time to maybe read or use or wear, we might not be. And it's the time to really evaluate what our lives are about right now and to try to clean out that clutter. Physically, when you clean out the clutter, mentally, you feel lighter. And I think we all need to kind of let go some stuff when 2020 ends. We can't wait till it's over. But with that, what can we let go of? And what can we look forward to?
And where can we find your book?
Both of my books. Here's what Papa told me. And the 90 lessons. So the 90 lessons book is lessons for downsizing or organizing any space, simple lessons. And they're on Amazon or wherever books are sold.
Mm-hmm. Paulette, where can we find your books? All of them.
Yes, you can go to Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can also go to my website, which is pauletteharper.com.
Thank you. Dandria, what do you have for us?
Well, you guys, RubyGoldSmoke.com. Yeah, so
everything over there.
Everything. But really, what I want to make sure I leave to everyone is be kind to yourself. You know, I think we are sometimes not aware that we speak to ourselves, we think, and sometimes we tell ourselves things that are not kind. So be kind to yourself. And then you can feel better about yourself and, you know, anyone else and where we are in this time, in this moment. And music helps that, helps your mood. So make sure you check us out, RubyGoldSmoke.com.
RubyGoldSmoke.com.
That's all you gonna say, Mr. Williams. That's it. Just RubyGoldSmoke.com. That's it.
Danny nailed it. You know, be kind to yourself. You're okay. You know what I'm saying? It's going to get better. You are going to be better. And it's real easy during times like these to get down on yourself. Yeah. And think that, and to start thinking this work, thinking that you caused the problem somehow. You'll be surprised. Grab Paulette's book, Scriptures in Color. Do some color. You know, you remember how therapeutic coloring was for you as a child. Imagine how therapeutic it can be for you as an adult. You know what I'm saying? And then when you coloring, grab you a scone. No. You know what I'm saying? With some, you know? Then when you done with all that, grab 90 ways. Give me the book again for at least 90 90 lessons. When you're done putting it back together.
And then watch Sharifa.
And then watch the Roundtable Talk Show with Sharifa. When you're done. And then when you're done with that, RubyGoldSmoke.com.
We all together. Boom. It is right there. Erica, what do you have for us?
Well, how do we follow that?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I didn't know. I would have got it different.
He got our scones in. Tell him the website, please order scones.
So please visit our website. Check out everything that we have to offer. ericastearoom.com. Erica's with a K. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram. We've got lots going on, and we're getting ready to speak at the International Tea Festival, which is normally in Chicago. So hopefully next year we'll be visiting Chicago and we'll be speaking there on the stage. We're doing three lectures there the first weekend in November, how to host a themed tea party, perfectly paired tea and scones and tea, and also baking with tea. So also follow us on YouTube, where you can see all of our past cooking shows and our upcoming ones, which we're going to get started with this Thursday evening, starting with new episodes. So ericastearoom.com, that will show you where everything else is.
Yes.
Brains, you'll see me on the cooking shows because I'm the brawn, and you'll see really nice home cooking. Felice, thank you. I mean, really, you brought a lot home to me. You know, just losing mom really recently. And all of you, I wish you lots of good luck in everything you do.
And I love that we're all in very different avenues of life and different avenues of culture are leaving our legacy and leaving our footprint for future generations.
Yes, I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I definitely want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you are not still important. We still need your support. We still want you to go ahead and share this show, whether you're watching it 2 years from now, 2 days from now, 8 months from now, it doesn't matter. Go ahead and share this show because it can help someone else. And please support our guests, follow them on social media, pick up a copy of at least 3 or 4 of their books, because there's a lot of them on the show today. Visit their website, send them a message, and when you contact them, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. And if you're looking for more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to my next 2-day teleconference, A New Year, New You, which is December 29th and 30th, or maybe you want to find out about being a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow at the same time, the same place, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.